Agora está
Story
chuva.
of my life.
Agora está chuva. Don't be confused. So Rav Kook says, "Zeh kama ani nelcham nelchama pnimit." This is how Rav Kook begins. Eretz Tshuva. If I understand correctly, I think Rav Kook used to just write booklets, and then Rav Tzvi Yehuda was the one who compiled the actual sefer, but it was put out while Rav Kook was still alive. And he wrote this, you know. So he wrote tons and tons of things. Rav Tzvi Yehuda kind of collected it, put it in order. Probably together with other people also, and then Rav Kook wrote this to talk about, or maybe he wrote it before. Okay. Zeh kama ani nilcham milchama pnimit. It's been a long time that I've been waging an inner battle, says Rav Kook. V'ruach chazaka dochefes osi v'daber davar al hatshuva. There's an inner spirit that's pushing me from the inside out that I can't ignore, that's telling me to speak about and to write about and to think about this topic of tshuva. V'chol rayon osai rak bahem merukazim. It is on this central idea that my mind is completely focused all the time. All my thoughts are centered on the meaning of tshuva. Tshuva hi tosefes. Excuse me. Tshuva hi tofeses es achilek hayoser gadol b'tarav v'chayim. Tshuva in Rav Kook's rebranding of this notion. Tshuva is life. Tshuva is Torah and tshuva is life. I think one of the greater chidushim that comes out of all of Rav Kook's writing, which he didn't really make up, but certainly in the little bit that I've studied, he seems to say in a very novel and it's completely new, just a completely new way of looking at it. If Kook would answer the question, what was the biggest chil Hashem that ever was? The biggest chil Hashem?
Creation of the world?
What's it inside?
Where is it inside? We'll see here.
I was going to cite that.
The whole thing. Because how so? How can that be? Because Rav Kook says that the entire process, the Gemara says in Pesachim already, that seven things were created before the world. Seven things were created before the creation of matter. Certain concepts were created before. One of those things is tshuva. Because Hashem understood that creation is a movement away from the unity of expression of Hashem, that there's only Hashem. And once Hashem created otherness, something outside of himself, then the only thing that remains is for everything to return to that state where we understand, where we recognize that it's really all Hashem. So tshuva for Rav Kook is everything. Tshuva is, as we'll say, tshuva is every novel, secular, quote-unquote, or religious, that ever was published, every piece of art that was ever made, every mistake that was ever made, every correction that was ever made. All creativity is the blossoming of the world towards the understanding that Hashem Hu Elokim. That's the whole thing. Tshuva grabs on to the chelik ha-yoser gadol v'torah b'chayim. Listen to these words. Ale b'nuyos kol ha-tikvos ha-ishios v'atziborios. On tshuva is built all of the hopes of man and mankind, ishius v'tziborius, of humanity as individuals and as a tzibor. Himitzvah Hashem, it's the commandment of Hashem that on the one hand, shimitzad echad kalos shabukalos, is the most simple thing to do, the Gemara and Kedushin. Here her tshuva u'kvar tshuva, he could have the biggest rasha in the world. And all he needs to do is for a moment attach himself to the mikvah of tshuva and say, I just want to be better. And in that moment, he turns everything around. Even if he's a Rasha Gomer, the fact that he says, Marry me, Almanas, that I'm a Tzadik Gomer, which means that he even understands that there's such a concept that he could say that. So already there's a suffix whether the Kedushin is Tofes, because it's the easiest, it's Kal Shabakalas. It's the easiest thing in the world to do Shiva. But mitzad sheni, the reason I'm writing this book, says Rav Kook, and the reason that we're talking about this. Harehi kasha shebekashos. It's obvious. I mean, as much as it's the easiest thing in the world, everything is riding on it, and it's the kasha. It's clearly experience has taught us that this is obviously the most difficult thing in the world. Shelo yatsa adayin al hapol b'olam b'chaim. You don't find that it has come out in the world in any practical, in any way. Meaning tshuva on the one hand is so easy, and on the other hand, we have someone sitting to our right who can tell us the power of addictions, and people just to do tshuva is not so easy to just stop and to stop things which we already know. We have the idea, this is what we're talking about this morning. We have the idea, tovera. We have the idea, tovera, that these things are self-destructive. We have the idea, tovera, that these things, but we don't see it, we don't feel it on the level of emes and sheker. We don't feel that it's a sheker when we do something which is hurting us. We don't feel that it's emes when we do something which is the Torah tells us is helping us. It's a rach shtus, so we can't bring this tshuva into the world. It's so easy, it's like right there, but it's touching and not touching at the same time. We can't bring it into the world. So here, Rav Kook, because he's tackling such a large portion, this is really like a window into everything that Rav Kook wrote. Hinni motzei es atzmi note lachshov ledaber tamid rak al adosa. I can't think about anything else. I can't stop writing about, thinking about, inclining myself towards anything else. Harbe kasuv b'Torah. A lot has already been written in the Torah, the Nevi'im, the Rei Chachamim, about tshuva al adusa. Uldoreinu adayin advarim stumim mitzrichim bir. But everything is still, I mean, there's a lot of psukim, there's a lot of Maamar Chazal. There are books which can collect, you know, big likutim of every statement that's ever been said about tshuva, but to paint a picture which is not just flat, but is three-dimensional, which we're able to live with, the dvarim are still stumim, b'tzrichim bir. They need to be clarified, they need to be unstuffed. Hasafrut hamishotetet b'chol hazavios sheyesh b'mshir v'chayim. Literature, all writing, which is... Cook, how do you translate it? Cook. That's floating to all the different corners, is spreading out and floating into all the corners where there's song and life, where people are alive, where things are still in color and three dimensions. Kind of reminded of Rav Soloveitchik wrote in the beginning of Halachic Man. He says, even though like psychology right now is interested in, you know, creating these archetypical models for different types of people, there's this type of person, this type of person, no one has studied the Halachic Man. That's sort of, because he's so weird, he's such a composite figure of all these different things. Rav Kook says, there's another man, there's a tshuva man that nobody's touched. There's literature about everything in the world. People are writing about love and about friendships and about... I just, in my grandfather's house, I was looking, he's a big reader. And now he's older, so he doesn't play golf anymore, so what's he going to do? So he has a lot of books. So there are books that have been written about how to read a book. It's a big book, it's about this thick, called How to Read a Book. Books about everything. And yet, literature, which is touching every place where there's song and where there's life, where there's a pulse... Lo chadra klal l'toch otzra chayim anifla hazeh. Has not entered at all into this part of life. This not just a part of life, but the part of life which is, he says, is tofesis es achilek hayoser gadol b'Torah b'chayim. Otzra tshuva. U'be'emes lo etchila klal l'sanyen bo. People are not even interested in it. Forget about writing about it. People aren't even interested about it. People aren't thinking about it. People aren't losing sleep over, how do we undo the Chil Hashem of creation? How do we understand that everything, all improvement in life, whether it's social, economic, internal, external, tzibur, individuals, anything. How do we understand that? How do we see that as part of this remarkable return back to Hashem? So people aren't even interested in it. Ladas is tchunas of arko, to understand its nature and to understand its value. Afilu mitzido hapiuti. Even you would expect, okay, maybe like, how do you write about tshuva? It's such a... Tshuva is something which is aimed at the heart. It's aimed at changing the person. So maybe you would think, maybe this is the... stays in the realm of the poets. People aren't going to write doctoral theses about tshuva. But people should at least be writing songs about it, be writing, trying to touch the feeling of it, if you can't intellectually wrap your head around it. So prose is not sufficient, so at least the poets should be writing about it. Shum melvav le'in cheker. Melvav. It's enheartening, without end. The kavachomer shalo nakfa etzba adayin al davar tzido amasi. If the poets aren't writing about it, if we're not even dreaming about it yet, then you can bet that no one's practically discussing how to attain this on a day-to-day level. Specifically, says Rav Kook, we need to be writing and speaking about this based on, because of the newness that we find ourselves here in Eretz Yisrael, or with the availability of being in Eretz Yisrael. And all of what that means, I mean, the unbelievable outpouring of cosmic tshuva of people returning back to Eretz Yisrael. That in light of all that, people aren't writing about this, aren't talking about this. How do we deal with this return? How do we inspire other people towards this return? There's nothing being written. So here, Rav Kook kind of hedges and also maybe explains why nobody's writing about it. And that's because it's as big as he just described it. When I think about tshuva, I think the first time I read this, because you read this before you read this, but the first time you read this opening paragraph before you get to the actual, you know, tochin of the book, you're like, I don't get it. Like, tshuva, like, you know, what is, like, that's, what's Rav Kook talking about? I've done Yom Kippur before, I've done Rosh Hashanah before. And until you begin to taste that Rav Kook's version of tshuva touches every second of your life, every breakfast, lunch, and dinner, every Shacharis Mincha Maariv, every test you ever take in college, until you realize that Rav Kook is saying that tshuva is way beyond just the bracha of, you know, maybe Hashivenu and then Slach Lanu Avinu Ki Chatanu, that it's everything that we're doing, so then you don't really get why he's making you like, calm down, it's just tshuva. I know tshuva is tshuva, the Rambam says what tshuva is. Tshuva is, I regret it, I admit it, I Kabbalah Asid. I don't know. What do I need a whole book for? So here, and this is maybe the reason why less people than we would expect are learning this and are doing this, because it's a tall task. In light of this next paragraph, before we read the next paragraph, there's a maisa from Rav Shalom Shvadron. Rav Shalom Shvadron used to like to say this story. The Chavetz Chaim went to the Knesia Gedola, and he spoke about how we have to draw close to Jews, and we have to draw Jews close to us. And there were a lot of big people who were sitting there, and all of them were listening to the Chafetz Chaim. And then after he finished his speech, you know, his impassioned plea that we have to start thinking more outside of ourselves and looking to it. So he got that, and he overheard people citing the Gemara, you know, more than one person he heard citing the Gemara. What do we do? Doesn't the Gemara say, you know, first the person has to adorn himself, and then he asks, then who are we to, we're going to go fix other people, we have to fix ourselves first, we're also so broken. Kavachomer ben benoshal kavachomer bizmanenu. Mitzad echad. So the Chafetz Chaim, he jumped back on the podium, and he said, I'm going to tell everybody a mashal. So there was once a king who had a specific plot of land which he had a special eye for. And every once in a while he would go to visit this place. When he would go to visit, they would throw the king a big party. And one time, word came around, the king was coming to visit. Everyone dropped everything, they planned the whole party, head to toe, everything was beautiful. The only thing was that they took for granted that the water system was still good. And they didn't realize that over the course of the winter, the water had gotten really muddy. So when the king came and they started to serve, the king poured a glass of water and he saw that it looked a little funny, but he took a sip and he spit it out. He says, "It's disgusting, this water." The king was not one of these kings from Alice in Wonderland, off with your head type of kings. He cared about his subjects. He was worried everyone was going to get sick. So he said, "That's it, by official order of His Majesty, myself, nobody here is allowed to make use of the water without first boiling it. People are going to get sick. There's mud, there's all this disgusting stuff. You have to first boil the water. Only after it's boiled are you allowed to use the water." So a few months later, the king heard that this beautiful piece of his kingdom, that special place that he had his eye on, burnt down to the ground. And after inquiring, he said, "What happened?" So they told the king, there was a fire, there was a small fire, and somebody came with a bucket of water and they're going to put it out. He said, "Oh, the king said first you have to boil the water before you put out the fire." So we took the water and we started to boil it up, but by the time we finished the first thing, it started spreading. We needed more water, we realized we needed, and we kept on going to boil up more of the water, and by the time it was finished, the entire place burnt down. So the king said, "You idiots, when I said you're not allowed to use the water before you boil it, I was talking about if you're drinking it. If there's a fire, you do whatever you can to put out the fire." So Chafetz Chaim said to the people, he said, "When there's a fire in the world, and there's a fire in the world, so on top of the fact that Baruch Hashem, we have tzaddikim, we don't have to look at ourselves so bad. But even if we look at ourselves and all the Reish Pei Bet in the world isn't doing it for us, we have to realize that we have to talk about these things amongst ourselves because there's a fire burning in the world, and even if we don't feel like we're up to the level, and even if a cook is going to say now that he doesn't feel like he's up to the level to talk about it, there's a fire burning, so you don't just throw water at it. It doesn't matter if the water's clean, if it's not clean. So this is what Rav Kook says. Anochi hineni nidchaf me'atzmosai hapnimis ledabra al davar atshuva. I am being attacked from the inside, pushing myself to speak about this. V'hineni nisaled ba'atzmi me'machshosai. Nisaled is like a lashon of like scolding hot. I recoil, I guess nisaled means to recoil. I recoil from myself, from my own thoughts. I'm like, on the one hand, I'm like completely thrown forward, but at the same time that I'm rotza, I'm shov, because are we fit to undertake this summer to study about tshuva? Kasval davar tshuva gedoli hador shavru, neviim chachamim ayoser tahorim. The prophets, the sages, the most sacred of our people, attempted to submit their peace in this mysterious entity called tshuva. Hachasidim hayoser gedolim, the most pious, the most pure, the most brilliant of our people have already attempted this. Ve'ech uchal anochi lehityatzev bakalam. How can I plant myself, sit myself down in their company? Avalot uchal kol chulshal ba'olam. But you know what it is, when the inside is demanding something from you, there's nothing you can do. You could try to scare yourself out of it. There's a lot of things you could try to do, but when the inside is demanding, there's not too much you can do. I'm forcing myself to speak about this and to do this. V'dafka b'tzida ha-sifruti v'amasi. I want to speak about this both literarily, to throw out some theoretical ideas, but also on a practical level, how to do this. L'havanas hatochin shala b'dorenu, to explain this for our generation, l'hagshamta, and to draw it down into the physical, to make it something tangible, b'chayim in life, b'chay haprat, u b'chay haklal, in the life of the individual and in the life of the tzibur of us. of our little chabur over here. So we'll do one or two little paragraphs, and then we'll pause for another time. Oh, this is interesting. In this version, there's no numbers. How does this work? Do you have numbers? Do you have olives and bases and gimels?
Huh? Yeah, yeah. I have olives and gimel.
Prakim or? Yeah, you have prakim like that. Okay, tough. So one of the great chidushim of Rav Kook is that if what we just described is true, that tshuva is tofes achilik hayoser gadol b'torah b'chaim. That's what we're doing in life, tshuva. So one of the great chidushim of Rav Kook is that, as he starts out, tshuva begins with, and it's not like b'derech mashal. He's not saying just like when a person feels like gross because they're overweight or they're not, you know, the kalim are kind of broken. Before you get to the ore, you have to fix the kli, otherwise, you know, all the light, all the water is just going to go out the hole in your kli. For Rav Kook, it's not a mashal to explain fixing of ruchnias, but for Rav Kook, it's a package deal. Ruchnias and gashmias are a package deal. Ein Ravanger's Erzchef, that's the last one, 30. And all of them, where he's yelling about dirty neighborhoods in Eretz Yisrael. It's not from to have a dirty neighborhood in Eretz Yisrael. Or a dirty shirt outside of Eretz Yisrael. Okay, so Sir of Cook. No, I'm doing tshuva. Tomorrow I'm getting a package. See these glasses? This is how I understand. See those glasses? See how there's a broken piece over there?
Uh-huh. Probably hurts.
It's okay. But fixing this or replacing this isn't the only thing in the package. I ordered a whole bunch of things. America, you know. Oh, so I ordered some packages. See these pants?
Mm-hmm.
There's a rip on the bottom. Over here. So what we're gonna see in a second, Rav Kook. In the cuff is longer. Don't worry. You can't even see it unless you're like walking very, you know, you're like crawling on the floor behind me. But all these things Rav Kook is going to explain, this is all tshuva. Tshuva begins with tshuva tivit, with physical tshuva. Or natural tshuva, which has two components, the first of which is physical tshuva. And so tshuva anu motzim b'shlosh marachos. There are three different ma'arachot, there are three different matrices that the tshuva kind of comes into the world through. Three different, like, self-contained ma'arachot. Tshuva tivis, natural tshuva. That's a natural tshuva. Is the gut reaction that a person feels to overeating or overindulging in physicality and ignoring their spiritual needs, the soul wants. Emunit, faith-based tshuva, and tshuva sichlis. We'll have to see what the difference between emunis and sichlis is. And within tshuva ativis, there are two different chalakim. It starts off like a little bit scientific, but not for long. There are two different types of tshuva ativis, of the natural rebalancing calibration that the human soul does. Tshuva tivis gufanis v'tshuva tivis nafshis. There's a physical tshuva which is automatic, and there is a spiritual tshuva. There's a nafshi tshuva which is automatic. Hagufanis soveres es kol ha'averos neged chukei ha'teva, which is a great line. The fact that he uses the word averos is amazing. The physical form of tshuva tivis surrounds and is centered on all of the averos, all of the sins that a person does against nature. everything that a person does against the natural, meaning we have to stop thinking of tshuva as something that we do. The world is doing tshuva. Everything is doing tshuva. When you cut your finger and the white blood cells get to work and they do their thing, that's tshuva. That's tshuva. Even when something worse happens, when a bone breaks and the body naturally goes towards tshuva, what Rav Kook is trying to help the world to see is that once you understand that this is happening on its own, all you have to do is just jump in, you just ride the wave. It's happening automatically. In later chapters, he says, like, you have no choice. Tshuva is happening. It could take a long time. You could be very stubborn. You know, you could stand there and let the waves of the ocean are just going to keep crashing down until they knock you over. Or you could just jump in. Tshuva tivis is broken up into gufanis and nafshis. Gufanis sovevis is kol aviris neged chukei ha-teva. When we violate the natural order of the world lets us know. Hamusar v'atorah. Tshuva gufanis is not only concerned with, you know, like, if you knock down all the trees in the forest, so then the animals are going to start to die, and when the animals start to die, so then, you know, chain reaction. It's not only that. There's something that's tshuva gufanis that has to do with Musar and Torah. Musar meaning ethics and Torah. Instruction from the Torah itself. Hamkushar m'chuki ha-teva shesof kol hanhaga ra hu lehevi machalos u'machavim v'harbi sovo mizeha adam ha-prati v'aklali. Understand that the physical world is linked to when a person gets angry, which is a breach of ethics. A person gets angry and loses control and becomes... So that has a physical effect on his teva also, meaning the breaching of the rules of playing this game called life causes a physical reaction. And that physical reaction is a catalyst towards the thing called tshuva gufanis. So it causes us to want to return to that. Because we don't get this, because we don't understand the link between the physical and the spiritual, between the physical and the emotional, we don't understand that a lot of disease in the world is happening because exercise and focusing on... You get sick less. You get sick less. When my brother was getting treatments, so there's a whole system. His doctor told him that the most important thing that he can do throughout the entire treatment is go bike riding every day on a stationary bike in the hospital. Because going bike riding every day, it'll put him in a good mood, it'll release certain internal mechanisms. So more than anything else, more than all the chemicals and the crazy things we're pumping into your body, so just go bike riding every day.
I was a psychiatrist, and the first thing they tell him isn't to get a serious cardio routine going on.
They're wasting their money.
They're doing it not making that the first thing.
Are you saying that if
before they prescribe something?
Right.
I'm not saying they shouldn't, but I'm saying if you're not doing that first.
Harbe silva mizaha adama prati vakali. We're sovel a lot in the world because we don't take this seriously. We don't realize the link between the physical and the spiritual, the emotional and the physical. The achri habirush mizbar etzlo hadavar. Hashem built into creation that you can't escape it. There's nothing you can do to get around it. If a person doesn't take proper care of his body, if a person doesn't brush their teeth are going to start hurting. And if it doesn't, then that's forget about it. Meaning if you don't feel pain, so then you're at a point which is so dangerous. But the first thing that happens is Hashem built into the system that we feel pain. And Rav Kook is going to talk about, when we talk about tivis nafshis, the mashal that I just gave of not brushing your teeth, you get a cavity, you feel the pain. That we're used to, that we can relate to. But a lot of times, as we'll develop, a lot of times, the tivis nafshis form of tshuva, we don't really know what we're feeling. We feel this very weird external feeling of like something's not right, But because we're not sensitive to the ebb and flow of the neshama the same way we are to the ebb and flow of, like, can I use my teeth or my eyes or my head is hurting or whatever it is, or I'm having trouble breathing. Those things we're much more sensitive to, but the truth is the exact same thing is taking place. When we don't take care of a certain part of our avoda, when we're not feeding the neshama that which is so natural to it, it lets us know. And we might be trying to fill it with all these other things, trying to, you know, fix this issue because, and we'll pin it on a lot of different things. We'll pin it on a relationship, we'll pin it on, you know, school, we'll pin it on, but what it really is the neshama's crying out that there's something wrong. In the exact same way that would happen if a person is smoking packs of cigarettes a day, that their lungs are going to let them know. When the neshama is not doing what it's supposed to do, it lets you know. You just might not recognize that it's the neshama talking to you. That ever happened to you? Even if it happened to you just the other day. You have like an itch somewhere. You're like, is it here? No. Is it here? No. Here? No. Trying to like find. It's like a little bit like hard to find. Then you finally find it. So with the neshama, it's more like that. You have a pain in your tooth. It's pretty easy to locate quickly. You have if you're having trouble breathing, it's pretty easy to locate quickly. If you have your nose is stuffed, you know it. But it's more like the itch. It's like, where exactly? Oh, maybe that's only me. But once a person recognized that, harehu sam lev l'takin es ha-matzav, l'shuv l'chukei ha-chayim, to return to the dictates of life, l'shmor es chukei ha-teva. That's why in Rav Kook's writing, you find a lot of times that for Rav Kook, being sick physically and being sick spiritually, there's no, for Rav Kook, in Tehillim, David HaMelech interchangeably talks about being sick and being healed, and he's not talking about being physically sick, and sometimes, it's one system. And when a person does that, so he returns to the Chukei HaTeva, HaMusar, VaTorah. He starts to take care of himself in all of these different areas. L'man yishuv v'yichya v'yashva alav ha'chayim b'chol ra'ananan, ra'ananosam. So that life will return to him in all of its freshness. It won't be stuck in this strange feeling. Last few sentences here. Hamidetzina, medicine, osek yes b'zeh amnam harbe. It's true that medicine, there's a lot that's been written, there's a lot that's been practically done in medicine to try to deal with. Now, you expect Rav Kook to take this and to make this into a mashal. Like, a lot has been done in medicine. Kook says, that's what I'm talking about. Like, discovering the cure for hepatitis, that was tshuva, that was the world doing tshuva. There was something wrong in the physical world. That's tshuva. Making your bed in the morning is tshuva. Figuring out how to, you know, put in some plastic tube inside your body so that you'll be able to breathe better or your heart will work better. Tshuva. All of that is tshuva. Medicine has dealt with this a lot. Avalo. So what do you expect Rav Kook to say? Like, we really need to do this in the neshama also. Avalo nishtachlo la kifi hanira adayin lagamri avoda gedola zu. But this great avoda of medicine, we haven't finished it yet. We still don't have the cure for a lot of terminal illnesses, and we need to do more for that. That's tshuva. We need to discover the cures for these things. We need to figure out how to fix these things. V'lo nimtza adayin ha-pitron ha-nachon l'kol she'los ha-tshuva ha-gufanis. We haven't figured out the best way to grow things so that we'll wipe out poverty completely from the world. Until poverty is completely wiped out from the world, we haven't done tshuva. Based on the sins that we as humanity have done, what we have done to the world, to move it away from its perfect operation. Hamotzi lechem in ha'aretz. Every time you make a bracha, hamotzi lechem in ha'aretz. The Medrash says that when Adam Harishon was in Gan Eden, so instead of, in order to really appreciate this, you have to just for a moment think about how crazy it is that an apple grows out of a piece of wood which grows out of the ground. of ground, and then there's like a humongous piece of wood that comes out of that, and then out of that comes this delicious apple. So now, what are we used to? We're used to go out to the field, right? And there's the swaying grains in the field. But by other Rishon, before the Chet, those grains didn't just stop like that. The 10 steps of Sidur de Pas happened, then bread would grow. Glistikos would grow on the trees. Would grow on the trees. And that's the that it was supposed to be. But due to the chait of Adam HaRishon, we don't have that anymore. We have to figure out how to do that again. Someone has to figure it out, either physically engineer it, and simultaneously to fix whatever it was that caused that to scientist. Don't be mistaken, Rav. I'm not suggesting that this happens independent, right? Rav Dessler has a beautiful essay. He has a lot of beautiful essays, but he has a beautiful essay in Michtav Eliyahu, where he talks about how we make the mistake of thinking that if we just keep improving the technology in the world — by technology, I don't mean just phones, I mean like technology, like all types of technologies, food technologies — and we figure out how to manufacture more and better and faster, we'll be okay. It's one of my favorite essays in Michtav Eliyahu. And he says basically that all we do when we manufacture things more quickly, bigger, faster, stronger, better, it's an opportunity. You're creating a bigger opportunity. But if the people manufacturing that and the people consuming that are selfish — it's part of Dessler's whole, you know, you giver, you taker. If you're a taker, you could make the biggest things in the world. There's still going to be poverty for the people who don't have the means. This is his mashal. He says, you know, 300 years ago, 400 years ago, 500 years ago, the further you go back, so what happened? Two people got in a fight. So, you know, I don't know. You get 20 people with their pitchforks and they go out there and, you know, they scrape each other up, and like one person, which is also a tragedy, one person gets killed. And say, okay, this is crazy. Let's stop. He says, so nowadays we have technologies where we have these humongous planes and submarines and we can do all these things. And it's the same thing. It's a mass scale, the same thing. And we could destroy everything. That's what he quotes the Gemara in Sanhedrin, that by tzaddikim, coming together is good for the world. And for Rishayim, coming together is bad for the world. The fact that we have planes that we could fly out all over the place. So if it's being used by tzaddikim and people are connected to tzaddikim, so then it increases the world. This is not in two independent processes. A person, medicine and technology is blossoming, and that happens independent of the tshuva ruchanis. It happens together. To read it again, ukafia nira miktsoa shel tshuva zu teluyu. This is it's not necessarily a good thing that we develop some mechanism to make lechem come out of the ground. Maybe we'll just have, as we see, have lots of food, we'll just be late. Like, what are we doing with our time? B'kesher chazak, b'yosher chelki ha-tshuva, ruchanis ha-tivis, ha-munis va-sichlis. This physical tshuva that we're talking about here is dependent on simultaneously fixing ourselves to be people who are giving, people who are not selfish, people who are looking outside of themselves, and who are looking inside of themselves to fix and to grow. And if we do that, so then the physical tshuva that we're doing becomes part of this cosmic tshuva that the world is doing. The tshuva back towards the recognition that just as it was before Hashem created the world, Adon Olam B'Shem Alach B'Terem Kol Yitzi Nivra, it's also true now. Hashem, even though it looks now like there's this gap between us and the Ribono Shel Olam, so part of what we're going to develop, it's Hashem this summer, through going through, I don't know what we'll do, but we'll do one line at a time. And we'll be zocha to unfold the mystery of tshuva, its physical components, its spiritual components, and come to the discussion as well. Right.